Well, good morning. Thank you, Darren. Thank you, team. Those songs fit in very well with what we're going to be considering today. And we're going to be looking at Moses and continuing a series that Bruce began a few weeks ago. And it's interesting in the songs that were chosen, Darren didn't know the subject of our message today, but the theme of our Redeemer and our Savior came through in those songs. And what's interesting is the last song that we sang, that he is on the throne. And we're going to be learning a little bit more about Moses and the place of Egypt and the fact that there was a man on that throne in Egypt who thought he was in charge of everything. But he didn't know who was coming because there was a Redeemer coming. Isaiah said that the Redeemer shall come to Zion. But God showed pictures of his coming in the Old Testament. And just as we looked at the life of Joseph and we saw glimpses of the Lord Jesus in his life, we're going to see Moses as the Redeemer and picturing the Lord Jesus as well. Moses is known as the lawgiver. And in the picture that you're seeing flashing on the screen, it's actually a statue that you'll find in a church in Rome of Michelangelo's, depiction of Moses. And what you see in the picture is Moses seated and his arm resting on two tablets of stone. And what Moses is famous for is, of course, going to Mount Sinai and being given the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. And it's interesting what Theodore Epp says about Moses, a man mightily used of God and the lessons that he learned. He had to be brought to the end of himself and he had to trust God completely. Lessons that we need to learn as well. He also had to be prepared and strengthened by God before he could become God's man, God's representative. When we think of Moses, we think of images of the Red Sea parting, the 10 plagues that afflicted the nation of Egypt because the Pharaoh would not let his people go. And it's Hollywood's representation. And it gives us some vivid pictures that we can imagine of what happened. And if you have your Bibles this morning, to turn to Exodus chapter 2, and perhaps we can get them on the screen at some point. And we're going to consider Moses in the school of God in the desert and turning that desert into an oasis, an opportunity to be taught by God himself. And so as we read in the book of Exodus chapter 2, we begin at verse 11. Now it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two Hebrew men were fighting, and he said to the one who did the wrong, "Why are you striking your companion?" And then he said, "Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" So Moses feared and said, "Surely this thing is known." When Pharaoh heard of this matter, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters. And they came and drew water, and they filled the troughs to water their father's flock. Then the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. When they came to Reuel, their father, he said, "How is it that you have come so soon today?" And they said, "An Egyptian delivered us from the hand of the shepherds, and he also drew enough water for us and watered the flock." So Jethro, or Reuel, said to his daughters, "And where is he? Why is it that you have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread." Then Moses was content to live with the man, and he gave Zipporah, his daughter, to Moses. And she bore him a son. He called his name Gershom, for he said, "I have been a stranger in a foreign land." Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of their bondage, and they cried out because of their cry came up to God because of the bondage. And so God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. Yeah, this is the picture that you often think about. You don't think about all the tough times that Moses was going to go through for 40 years in the backside of the desert. We think of Moses and the amazing miracle, the crossing of the Red Sea. In this desert experience, God was going to turn that desert into a literal oasis for Moses. He was going to tutor him. And these are just the scriptures that we read. When the Lord places Moses in a desert, it can be a place of refreshing purpose and new possibilities. You know, it's often what you make of a situation that helps you to cope with that situation. And Moses was facing a pretty tough trial in his life. He didn't think anybody saw him when he killed that Egyptian. His anger burned. His passion was excited. Moses came to realize that he was a Jew. He was the son of Abraham by faith. His parents loved him and put him in a little ark. And God miraculously intervened. And we see how a miracle took place, and Pharaoh's daughter brought him into the palace, and Moses was raised with all of the privilege of being a king. And he was certainly close to that throne. But these troubles and trials are tools that God uses to forge character. And so it's the story of a development of character of Moses. And it's all about faith. Moses was learning to wait on God. And these trials are reminded of by Peter, as he writes in his letter, "For a little while you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love." You know, Moses was looking for an invisible city. He was trusting an invisible God. And just as Christians, we do the same. We put our love and our affection and our faith and our trust in the one that we have not yet seen face to face. But one day, thank God, we will see him. And when we see him, we're going to be like him. Old Testament characters like Job, and we see Noah's story, Abraham, and then Joseph, whom we studied recently, King David and all of his ups and downs, Jonah, trials, tested by fire. Daniel, again, another character, tested by fire. Peter, the one that wrote these verses. And what we find, even in the life of Paul, is that these are men, and there are women in the Old Testament who were tested and put in this crucible of fire. And when they came through the fire, they came forth as gold. And this is what Moses has to do in the school of the desert. He is going to be tried and tested and tempered. But we see Moses doing something that you wouldn't think a man that was going to be a great leader would do. He turned tail and ran. It says he feared. And he left the city of the Pharaohs, and he headed to the backside of the desert, and we see him on the other side of the Gulf of Aqaba. And I have been told by those that have studied the distance, you can get there in about 60 days at a nice pace. It reminds me of what Elijah did when he was victorious with God's help over the prophets of Baal. And he turned tail and ran. And both of them ended up really in the same way. Elijah was under a tree and sitting down, and Moses was sitting down by a well. He spent his first 40 years of his life thinking that he was a somebody. Then he spent the second 40 years of his life learning that he was a nobody. And then the last 40 years of his life, he discovered what God can do with a nobody. Moses was going to be a shepherd. If you read your Bible carefully, you'll notice there's two verses in the book of Genesis that talk about Egyptians and their regard of the Israelites. Number one, they wouldn't eat with them. But number two, Genesis 46:34 says, "Every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians." And what was Moses going to do? He was going to be a shepherd. In fact, Joseph said to his father, "Don't tell them you're shepherds." This is very Jewish. "Tell them you're tending livestock. It's much better that way." And that's what they did. The book of Acts records this incident. I just want to read it together with you. Now, when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel, and seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended and avenged him who was oppressed and struck down the Egyptian. And notice this statement, for he supposed that his brethren would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand, but they did not understand. And the next day, he appeared to two of them as they were fighting and tried to reconcile them, saying, men, you're brethren, why do you wrong one another? But he who did his neighbor wrong pushed him away, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Almost prophetic words of what was to come. But it wasn't his day for that. Do you want to kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday? Then at this saying, Moses fled and became a dweller in the land of Midian, where he had two sons. And when 40 years had passed, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in the bush in the wilderness of Mount Sinai. So, being a nobody is really something. And until age 40, Moses thought he was really a somebody. And he was schooled in Pharaoh's house, learning to be a ruler, learning to lord it over people that were slaves, learning the idolatry of Egypt, the false security of riches, the feeling that you have when you're in control. But where did he go wrong? Two areas, his passions and his premature actions. He was impulsive, and he was too emotional. Now, it would be good for us to be more emotional about God, because he's certainly emotional about us. But Moses had uncontrolled passion, premature actions, and these passions ruled him. Acts 7:22, just before that passage, Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. He was angry that his fellow Hebrews were mistreated. So he lashed out in this wrong way. And we cannot let our passions misguide us and cause us to make wrong responses to situations we find ourselves in. So I wrote these words: stay calm, trust God, and carry on. Somebody should do a t-shirt with that. Stay calm and trust God. But you know, another area, of course, was he acted prematurely. And it's often at this point that we get into difficulties as well. We don't know what to do, so we want to do something. Moses said, you know, I want them to know that I'm on their side. I want them to know that I've switched teams. I'm now going to side with my people. He found that he was a Hebrew. But he didn't wait long enough on God. We find ourselves doing that sometimes. We want to do something for the sake of doing something, and the hardest thing to do is to learn to wait. Inevitably a disaster. So this time I said, trust God and stay calm and then carry on, okay? Hebrews 11, verses 23 to 27, a New Testament commentary. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. They were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction. Choosing to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he looked to the reward. And here's the two big words: by faith. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Being a nobody is really something. God loves it when he can take someone and make them something. And that's what he wanted to do with Moses. Moses made choices. He weighed out his options, and he chose God and God's people, not the pleasures of sin. He looked to the reward. The key is by faith. Forsaking all, I trust him. Have you got that? Faith, F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all, I trust him. That's what Moses did. But he did it slowly in God's school. Lawrence of Arabia was in the desert, and they called the desert, because of his extreme temperature, the anvil of God. You didn't stay out there very long before you died. Moses was in a desert. He was going to live, but God was going to put life into him. And God was going to use him. He was going to train him. Moses had to die to self. The hardest thing to do is to say no to self. Self-denial. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus, we know the formula. You deny self, take up your cross, and follow him. Those are his words. It hasn't changed. And the principle was there in the life of Moses. He had to deny self and take up his cross. The cross of self-denial. The cross of submission to the way of God for 40 years in the desert. And by faith, he saw the invisible. By faith, he looked to God. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 12, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Moses had to die to be fruitful. Being a nobody is really something. He was learning to be a somebody, but in a different way, at age 40, and he was schooled in the desert of Midian. So we read this in Acts chapter 7, verse 29. Moses fled and became a dweller in the land of Midian, where he had two sons. He uprooted himself and found a new home. It's not where he planned to be. He was definitely thinking outside the box. And he was doing something that he could not fully understand. Until God wanted to make him a somebody doing one thing that God wanted him to do. John the Baptist spent so much time, you know, he looked like the desert warmed over when he finally arrived. And he only worked for 6 months. He was a bright and shining light. His ministry was short. Moses' ministry was going to be 40 years at age 80. God spent 40 years training him for 40 years. Don't be surprised if God is taking a long time to train you to do something. Scripture talks about not putting your hand suddenly on a novice. And there's wisdom in that. It takes time to mature. It doesn't mean that young people shouldn't be up and running and encouraged and move forward. But there's a time for mature reflection in the life of every believer as we follow God. And at age 80, Moses did something that only God can do. He went back to the desert for 40 years and led a bunch of nobodies to be the people of God. And that made him a somebody. And the Bible has recorded his words, the first five books that he wrote, and he's mentioned over and over again. God gave him the tablets of stone, the Decalogue, which changed the course of mankind forever. And the Lord Jesus said, Moses wrote of me. The scripture has a place of prominence because of what Moses did those 40 years in the desert. He fled from Pharaoh's presence. And he learned that God can and does use nobodies. The back of the desert is when you get to the point where you've arrived in the sticks. And Moses, like Elijah, said, what has happened to me? He encounters the daughters of Jethro, and he stood up and he helped them. He no longer sat down. Moses started to take action. He assessed the situation. He counted the cost, and he moved forward. And he helped them. He watered their flock. When they came to Reuel, which is Jethro, he said, how is it that you've come so soon today? And they said, an Egyptian delivered us from the hand of the shepherds. And he also drew enough water for us and watered the flock. He was defending the helpless. Moses was taking baby steps. And that's the best way to learn, is to take baby steps. Well, I'll tell you, you know, have you ever run a race? Especially if it's a marathon. I've never run that far. I ran 5 miles once. Boy, that was amazing. But by that last mile, I was spent. You have to pace yourself. It's a long journey that you spend with God. And Moses moved into this phase of his life content to live with the man. He could have been the king of Egypt, but he had to make adjustments. You and I have to make adjustments in our trials. Every day, it's fine-tuning. You don't want the things that have happened to you to happen. And you're not looking forward to the things that are going to happen. Whether it's, you know, physical problems, relationship problems, spiritual problems, or larger scale national problems. We look at the world around us and we hear of terrible things going on. Things that are only able to be dealt with by God. When you face a desert, there are three responses you can have. I don't need it. That's our first response when you face a desert situation, a trial, an experience where you're forced to be still and to know God. You think somebody else needs it, but you say, I don't need it. The second one is, I'm tired of it. When is it going to end? No matter how long we've been in the desert, it seems too long. Moses was there 40 years. And do you ever feel like saying, I'm weary, Lord? Make it end. Make it stop. I feel trapped. I've had it. And the third response is, here I am, Lord. That's what Samuel said. Here I am, Lord. And what is it that you want me to learn? You'll never graduate from the school of the desert until you learn to wait on God and become a servant of God. God never does anything without a purpose. God put Moses in this private tutorial program that he had. It's like a personal trainer. Now, I was encouraged to get a personal trainer. I'm not sure why that person encouraged me. You should get a personal trainer. And I thought, well, I'll think about it. Moses had a personal trainer, a tutor. It was God himself. He took him out of the activity and the noise of Egypt. And you know what he did? He showed him the stars. He said, Moses, think about stars for a few years. Go out there in the desert. Just look up every now and then, and you're going to learn something. Moses learned about the God that put the stars in that canopy above him. God never does anything without a purpose. Moses had been taught of Egypt, the ways of the world. God had to empty Moses of that selfish idolatry that was embedded in him. And he had to empty himself of those thoughts, those ideas, those ways. And then God could take that empty man and fill him and make him a man of God. And that's what it is to die to self. It is no longer that I live, but it's Christ lives in me. That's what the goal of the Christian life is. The Lord Jesus came to give us an abundant life, but he can't do it if we keep ourselves in the center of it all. We need to be emptied. David said, God is powerful. Isaiah, Psalm 62:11, power belongs to God. It's not that he is, an attribute of God is that he's powerful. God himself is power. And that power God was going to begin to channel into Moses so that one day when Moses stood before Pharaoh, he could say, God says, let my people go. Moses knew the power of God would be swift and trustworthy. And we can have that same confidence. God never forgets his promises. You know why Moses was there? Because God keeps his promises. It happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. The children of Israel groaned because of the bondage. They cried out. Their cry came up to God because of that bondage. And God tucked away Moses in a little ark, brought him through the whole experience of being an Egyptian, placed him in the desert of Midian. And Moses must have ached to help them because that's what he wanted to do on day one. But he couldn't do it then. It wasn't his time. Verses 24 and 25 of Exodus 2 say, God heard their groaning and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he looked upon the children of Israel and God acknowledged them. It looked like everything was against Israel. It really did. It looked like it was over. But there are four phrases in this passage. God heard, God remembered, God looked, and God acknowledged. He was there with them. He was going to redeem them. We sang of our Redeemer. The time came when our Redeemer came to earth. In the fullness of time, God sent his Son. And God was going to send his Redeemer to the nation of Israel. Humanly speaking, it looked like everything was against them. But anything is possible with God. Anything. Let him work. Let him be God. Don't do what he's supposed to do. Do what you're supposed to do. That's the lesson that Moses had to learn. God was teaching Moses how to deal with failure in his past. He had to deal with his mistakes. He tried to rescue his people the wrong way. Right man, right place, right motive, wrong time. It's all got to be right. God isn't satisfied unless it's all in the timing and the place that it's supposed to be. He has a big plan, and that plan involves so many people, not just one man. So he had to change the man and change the time to fit the plan. And then God taught Moses how to wait on him. He's not worried about what we think of time. God is beyond time. He deals with eternity. He has his own plan. And he wanted Moses to move when God said go and to be a servant of God. That was the key. That's what he was working on, was for Moses to be a servant. You know, Moses, we read in Deuteronomy chapter 32, it's interesting, he wrote a song. And he read the song. He didn't know that, but Moses was a songwriter. Okay, and when Moses wrote that song, it says he found him in a desert land and in the wasteland, a howling wilderness. God encircled him. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirs up its nest, hovers over its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on his wings. So the Lord alone led him, and there was no foreign God with him. Egypt had left Moses. It took a while. There was no foreign God with him. God was getting the world out of Moses, and he was putting his own spirit within him and with him to do his work. First, God encircles us. Then he instructs us. He cares for us. He guards us as the apple of his eye. And then he leads us in our wilderness experience. Moses went up on mountains from time to time. We're going to learn about that in the weeks ahead. He went up to the mountain, Mount Sinai, and there was a burning bush. He went up another mountain, and God said, I've got some things I want to do with some rock. It's going to be important, so make sure it gets written down properly. I'll take care of the details. Make sure you bring it down. Moses went up a mountain, he came down a mountain. But Moses went up another mountain one day. He went up to Mount Nebo. When he went up to Mount Nebo, he already knew why he was going. God had told him, Moses, you're going up to Mount Nebo. You're going to die up there. And God buried him. And only God knew where he had planted Moses. Moses had something happen to him that not too many people have. God was his undertaker, and God was his uppertaker. A unique experience for Moses. Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. You begin Joshua's account of the entrance into the land of Israel. And four times in Joshua chapter 1, you read these words, Moses, my servant, Moses, the servant of the Lord. That's what God thought of Moses. He embedded it in his word. Moses finally learned to be a servant. He finally learned to be a servant. If you find yourself in God's school of the desert, don't despair. God has a purpose for you being there. Some things he wants you to learn. He wants you to be a servant. And he wants you to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. And could it be like Moses? Maybe you need to deal with something in your past. Failures. You need to learn to put them in the past. You know, if we confess our sins, the scripture says he will forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Perhaps you haven't received the forgiveness of God. Maybe that's where you're at this morning. Now is the time. Have a relationship with God. The Lord Jesus came so that you could have that relationship. Paid for our sins in full. We sang of him being the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You know, the Bible uses these two themes of suffering and glory. And without the cross, there was no crown. And the same thing is true for you today. If you've never come to the cross, there'll never be a crown for you. You need to lay your burdens down at the feet of Jesus, and he will give you eternal life. Forgive your sins and give you a home in heaven. And then he's going to put you in a desert, and he's going to train you for the rest of your life to serve him, because that's what he calls us to do. And perhaps you haven't received for the forgiveness of others, but maybe you haven't forgiven yourself. And that's important to do. There's a time to say, you know what? I messed up. I need to deal with that with God and the people that I messed up with, and I need to move forward. And there are no shortcuts either in the wilderness. We have to stop running from one dead end to another, because like Moses, sometimes you just have to stop and wait on God. And that's what he did. And we will continue to learn lessons about Moses, the children of Israel, as we continue our study in the weeks to come. He is a real picture of what it's like to lose yourself in service for God. By the time Moses shows up in Pharaoh's court, he's not the same man that left 40 years earlier. he was changed. And what changed him was being in the school of God and spending time in the presence of God. And when he moved forward in God's timing, he was equipped. The scripture says that this book that he has given us is purposeful. And it's given to us so that we might know how to live. Not only for doctrine, but for instruction in righteousness. That we might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's what he's calling us to do. So this morning, may you put your trust in him and learn the example of Moses and desire to be a servant of God, a man of God and a woman of God, to serve him all the days of your life, that he might be glorified through your life and mine. Father, we thank you this morning for your eternal word. And bless us as we part with this knowledge that if you can work in the life of Moses, you can work in my life too. May we be challenged to be true disciples and deny ourselves and follow Jesus. And so we ask your blessing now as we part. We thank you for each one here. Bless every need of every heart. And for those that need to know you most of all today in a first relationship with you, we pray that you would give them the courage to step forward in faith and trust Christ. And we ask your blessing in his holy name. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Have a good rest of your weekend. Amen.